Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, March 24th, 2026. We begin on the front page with local news, Normal Community High School, serving up joy and whimsy. NCHS Seniors Foster Community Philanthropy with Club Pancake by Olivia Jacobs. Normal Community High School seniors Tommy Wade and Ryan Robinson started Club Pancake last year, bringing free pancakes to the student body once a month. Ryan came to me at the beginning of the year and he's like, "Let's make this a club." And I'm like, 100% this has to happen. And now we're part of Normal Community's culture, said Tommy, who serves as the club's president. "So many kids come every meeting and we never have enough pancakes to have enough for ourselves or keep like a good supply. Any that are left over, we bring them in the break room or give to our favorite teachers." They had help coming up with the name from their English teachers. Together, they decided putting the word club first gives the name authority, ethos, and credibility, with the clear message that they do, in fact, make pancakes instead of arranging it as Pancake Club, which Tommy said sounded more elementary. Tommy and Ryan are involved in theater and came up with the idea because they were often hungry after rehearsals, the duo said. They used to order food, but that often became expensive. So Tommy brought in his waffle maker, Ryan brought in a griddle, and they started making waffles and pancakes and even crepes in the green room backstage. Eventually, the whole cast was asking for pancakes, even offering to donate money for the ingredients. And eventually, the teachers got in on it, too. Now, a school-sanctioned student organization, Club Pancakes holds a meeting once a month, serving up free pancakes with a variety of toppings before school starts. And Tommy and Ryan have expanded its reach. This month, the club held a fundraiser to help raise money for their classmate, Miguel Patino Diaz, whose father has cancer. They held a bake sale and made pancakes to sell to Normal Community students and teachers during the lunch hour. That day, the club raised $967 for the family. With the help of outside donations, the fundraiser has surpassed $1,000. Another fundraiser for the Patino Diaz family is planned for April 22nd during the school's lunch hour, and they are hoping to have one in May as well. "It was very lovely to see how many people came together to help support the cause. That was actually thanks to Emery Jennings, who serves as sous chef, a role for underclassmen. He's a sophomore and likely to take over Club Pancake when we leave," Ryan said. He was like, "Hey guys, I want to do something for Miguel's family and I want Club Pancake to be involved with it." He said people also donated cupcakes, banana bread, and brownies for the bake sale, and he made a tres leches cake for the event. During club meetings, Tommy and Ryan review club goals starting at 7:45 a.m. on certain Fridays, and then anyone can line up to receive pancakes. They typically go through 10 to 15 pounds of pancake batter per meeting, which makes about 250 to 350 pancakes, Tommy said. "Everyone has a good time. It's really just a pancake social, and people come in and enjoy it," he said. "I'm running on 5 hours of sleep, but I feel so excited. I don't know if it's a slap happy or just the excitement that I get when I'm out there presenting and shaking people's hands and saying, 'Good morning, welcome, have a pancake, have more pancakes, thank you, bring a friend.' I just little comments like that make my heart keep going and love for this club." Tommy also said sometimes the club meetings give students a reason to get up early for school on Fridays and enjoy the sense of community, hanging out with friends before class or sharing a breakfast date. Ryan, who serves as the executive chef and believes pancake making is a lifelong skill, said the club sort of started off as a joke, but it has evolved into more of a community service and charity club. He and the club have made pancakes for other school clubs, Normal Community sports team, and even outside the school for residents at the Village of Mercy Creek Senior Living Community in Normal. Ryan said they hope to visit other nursing homes and participate in community events in the future. Tommy noted they've also had people from other schools reach out to them about their club. I think just love for the community, because as corny as it is to say, it's very good to see and fulfilling to see how happy people are just to receive a pancake in the morning. And people start talking in groups, and we're creating friendships and full stomachs, Ryan said of what inspires him to be part of the club pancake. In addition to the executive chef, president, and sous chef roles, Ryan, Tommy, and Emery play for the club. They also have a junior chef and a social media secretary. And since Ryan and Tommy are graduating this spring, they will be hosting an election night Tuesday, April 29th, hoping to fill their roles. Club Pancake is also planning future events, such as a pancake art competition and pancake eating contest. The chocolate chip pancakes are the most popular among students, but the club founders said they try to make something special for each meeting. For example, they were flipping green chocolate chip pancakes this month as a nod to St. Patrick's Day. They've also made pumpkin flavors in the fall, peppermint, cinnamon, and vanilla for Christmas, and red velvet for Valentine's Day. I hope to spread it to more people, raise more money so that we can go and do more out in the world. We hope that everyone knows what Club Pancake is, and students come home and say, I went to Club Pancake today and ate delicious pancakes and had a good time, made friends, and enjoyed it, Tommy said. Besides the club, Ryan also plays bass for the Top Jazz Ensemble and sings in Voicemail, an a cappella group at Normal Community. Tommy is part of the Student Council, German Club, and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Next year, Ryan will be heading to Northern Illinois University to study chemistry, and Tommy will attend Iowa State University with the goal of becoming an architect. Both said they've hoped to create Club Pancake chapters in college to keep their legacy growing. Ryan said there's something about the joy and whimsy the club brings to the school. High school isn't always the greatest experience for teenagers, he said, but Club Pancake gives them a chance to bring happiness to their fellow students and start their day off right, in the right mood. Also on the front page, we have state grants available to food producers. Deadline to apply for funding is Friday, by Rebecca Pider with the Medill News Bureau. Illinois food producers and businesses can apply for a share of $3.6 million in state grant funding through Friday, March 27th, as part of a program to reduce Illinoisans' reliance on food from out of state. The Local Food Infrastructure Grant Program, through the Illinois Department of Agriculture, supports small agricultural operations and food producers working with cold storage, processing equipment, refrigerated transportation, and distribution systems. The grant program is currently open for applications, and applicants must complete a pre-registration before applying. Funds will be distributed in June. Information on the application process can be found on the Department of Agriculture's website. The grant program is designed to support the infrastructure needed to make locally grown food more accessible in Illinois. When we say farm-to-home food, we forget about the critical infrastructure in between, Senator David Kohler, Democrat from Peoria, said in a release announcing this year's funding. This investment ensures that our food makes it from farm to local food processor and distribution safely and cleanly to your plates at home. The Illinois Stewardship Alliance, a local food and farm advocacy group, administered the program in its first year in 2023. The idea for the legislation came after Alliance members identified a lack of sufficient infrastructure to feed their surrounding communities, said Molly Pickering, Policy Director at the Illinois Stewardship Alliance. We believe Illinois farmers can feed Illinois, but we need programs and policies to support these farmers, she said. Policies like the Local Food Infrastructure Grant Program benefit Illinois by removing barriers that keep local businesses from serving their communities, Pickering said. We know that in Illinois, 95% of the food that we eat is imported from out of state, she said. That means every time we spend money on food, all that money is flowing to corporations and companies out of state. It's not staying in our communities. It's not being reinvested in our communities. Following the passage of the Local Food Infrastructure Grant Act, the Illinois Department of Agriculture took over administration. The state appropriated $2 million in fiscal year 2025 to the Department of Agriculture to administer the grants, though the program faced implementation delays. The unused funds have been added to this year's cycle. Local food doesn't move itself, Liz Moran Stelk, executive director of the Illinois Stewardship Alliance, which helped launch the program, said in a news release. Farmers across Illinois are ready to meet growing demand for locally produced food, but they need the infrastructure to do it. Previous grant recipients have shown that what that infrastructure can look like in practice. Sola Grantia Farm, a nonprofit farm in Urbana, used funding to purchase a refrigerated delivery van and processing equipment, allowing it to expand deliveries to schools, food pantries, and neighborhood markets. In McLean County, Funk's Grove Heritage Fruits and Grains invested in grain handling and processing equipment, improving product quality and reducing waste. Recipients have described how the grants made a huge difference in opening business opportunities. Everyone benefits when we empower our local farmers, Senator Doris Turner, a Democrat from Springfield, a supporter of the program, said in a news release. By fortifying the food system, we are supporting our local farmers and mitigating food insecurity. This funding will expand access to fresh local foods, strengthen the local economy, and grow the food supply chain. The Illinois Stewardship Alliance is pushing for a more permanent funding solution rather than relying on year-to-year appropriations. That hasn't materialized yet, but we're going to keep advocating for that, and so are our members, Pickering said. Next, we have in public safety for Normal, tips sought after shooting hurts six. After two students injured near ISU, cops call for witnesses' help, by Caitlin Klepek. The Normal Police Department is asking residents for help, gathering information about the shooting that left six people with injuries on Sunday. About 2:40 a.m., officers were dispatched to the 700 block of Franklin Avenue, where they found six people with gunshot wounds. In an update Monday, Normal Police said the six teenage victims included a 17-year-old male from Bloomington, a 17-year-old male from Peoria, an 18-year-old female from Normal, an 18-year-old male from Bloomington, a 19-year-old male from Bloomington, and a 19-year-old female from Chicago. Illinois State University police said two of the victims are current students. All were taken to local hospitals with injuries that were not considered life-threatening. An update on the condition of the victims will be provided once information is gathered, according to the update issued by Normal Police. The department continues to investigate the circumstances of the shooting and is asking for the community's help. We believe there may be individuals who were present at the gathering or in the surrounding area who have information critical to this investigation, according to the release. Investigators are asking those who were present during the shooting, who live nearby or were traveling through the area at the time, to review any recordings or other potentially related evidence. This could include footage from home security cameras, cell phone photos, or videos, dash camera footage, and social media posts or messages. Even information that may seem minor could be significant to investigators, police said. Anyone with information to share is asked to contact the police department at 309-454-9535. Anonymous tips can be submitted online or via the Normal PD mobile app or by sending a text message to 847-411 with the phrase in all caps, Normal PD, then followed by a space and the tip information. In Woodford County, we have the county okays new kennel building. The board drops a plan to remodel a former church in Metamora. This is by Steve Stein. The Woodford County Board has approved the construction of an animal control facility, a major change from the county's original plan. Instead of renovating a former church building at 1301 South Douglas Road in rural Metamora, the board voted Thursday, March 19th, to build a 40 by 50 foot building with 22 kennels to the south of the church and parking lot on the 2.74 acre property. The county will contribute its budgeted $285,000 toward the $510,000 project, which is targeted to be finished before next winter. The Menson Critter Care Perpetual Charitable Trust will chip in the remaining money for the project in the form of a one-year zero-interest loan the county will pay back this year. Midwest Building Systems of Metamora will serve as project manager. The building will cost $425. The remaining The building will cost $425,000. The remaining $85,000 will be used for HVAC and septic systems. The church, what does the future hold for the church building? It will be used for people functions, meetings, offices, potentially a voting center, said Dave Meinhold, chair of the board's finance committee. Meinhold said after months of research, including talking with experts and stakeholders, it was determined that it would cost twice as much to renovate the church for an animal control building than to build a new one. Also, Meinhold said, a new building will better meet the county's current and future animal control needs. The county bought the vacant church and property located in a remote area for $200,000 about a year ago with the intention to transform the church into an animal control building. The Sheriff's Department oversees the county's animal control department, which was created in 2024. Deputy Sheriff Dennis Tipsworth represented the department at Thursday's county board meeting. He said the 22 kennels in the new building should be sufficient based on the 8 to 10 animals that normally are housed at the county's rented and temporary animal control facility at the Eureka home of Merle and Michelle Blunier. It's a hoarding situation. We could have several more than 8 or 10 animals to board, Tipsworth said. As he says, in a hoarding situation. A few more decisions need to be made about the new building and property, including fencing and security measures, such as exterior lighting. The county will request a setback variance from 100 to 75 feet for the new building at the April Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. Michelle Blunier resigned recently from her job at the temporary animal control facility at her home, leaving kennel staffing at 2 part-time employees. A third part-time kennel employee is being sought. Tipsworth said he's confident the Blueniers will allow the county to continue using their animal control facility until the new one is built. In other board action, they approved spending no more than the budgeted $41,000 to purchase a new squad car for the Woodford County Probation and Court Services Office. The car will replace a 2015 Ford Explorer, one of the oldest vehicles on the office's fleet. The Explorer will be auctioned with the proceeds deposited into the county's general fund. The board also approved low bids for pipe culvert materials, seal coat, and a box culvert project on County Highway 8, just north of Congerville. Contact Engineered Solutions of Metamora had the low bid of $12,600 for the pipe culvert materials. Steffens 3D Construction of Toluca had the lone seal coat bid at $720,000, about 10% below the engineer's estimate. And Miller & Son Construction of Mackinac had the low bid of $128,800 for the box culvert project, a little more than 2% above the engineer's estimate. County Engineer Conrad Moore told the board he submitted a request to U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, LaHood's office, for a community project grant to help fund the next phase of the County Highway 13 rehabilitation project. Also, board member Zach Ferris said the Pekin-based Tazewell Woodford Youth Services Organization is disbanding because of a lack of funding. Ferris was Woodford County representative on the organization's board. The county was contributing $4,000 annually to the organization. County Offices Committee Chair Autumn Jones said the committee appointed Woodford County Elections Deputy Holly Gerdes as Program Compliance Oversight Monitor Officer for the We Care Transportation Service. Tuesday brings us Jerry Vogler, Superintendent of McLean County Veterans Assistance Commission's report in the Veterans Corner. Vietnam Veterans Recognition Day will be held Saturday, March 28th at the Decatur Civic Center at 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza in Decatur. There is no admission cost thanks to generous sponsors. The event will feature music from the 1959 to 1975 era, plus non-alcoholic beverages and food will be served. There will be static displays, veteran service groups, a group photo, and opportunities to socialize. All veterans and the public are welcome. The doors will open at noon, with the opening ceremonies beginning at 1 p.m. The keynote speaker will be John S. Rashke, an author who served from 1969 to 1970 on the MACV Advisory Team 73 in the Mekong River Delta. For more information, search for Vietnam Era Veterans Recognition Day on Facebook or visit veteransrecognitionofillinois.org. Scams targeting veterans continue at a record pace. The Department of Veterans Affairs recently issued a news release highlighting the kinds of home loan scam attempts that are currently happening to veterans with Home Loans Guarantee Program loans. If you have a VA home loan, you have probably received unsolicited offers to refinance your mortgage that may sound too good to be true. These solicitations commonly include one or more of these facets: escrow refunds, extremely low interest rates, thousands of dollars in cash back, no out-of-pocket costs, repeated refinancing with no waiting period, guaranteed approval regardless of credit score. The scammers attempt use logos and symbols that appear to be from trustworthy organizations or even the VA. They may look like they are from your mortgage servicing company. Some red flags to look for include offers to skip mortgage payments, offers to receive an escrow refund, low interest rates without clear details, pressure tactics like must act now or lose the opportunity, or a promise of fast approval. If you receive suspicious solicitations or experience mortgage issues, the VA is available to support you. Submit a ServiceNow inquiry or call the VA at 877-837-3702. Submit a complaint to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau online or by calling 855-411-2372. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, but also don't let yourself become a victim to these unscrupulous scammers. The VA has increased the expenditures cap for in-home and community-based services for veterans with certain complex medical conditions. The VA's Skilled Home Healthcare Program will now cover the costs of in-home and community-based services for veterans with spinal cord injuries, Lou Gehrig's disease, and complex medical conditions at 100% of the cost of similar care in a VA community living center. This is a massive increase from the previous rate of 65% reimbursement. Out-of-pocket expenses for eligible veterans and their families for services like home health aid, home respite, community adult daycare, veteran-directed care, and skilled home health. The VA's goal continues to be to enable veterans to remain living in their own homes instead of having to move to care facilities to receive the care they need. The Skilled Home Healthcare Program has enrolled about 1,800 veterans since it was established in 2019 under Section 120 PF of the Elizabeth Dole 21st Century Veterans Healthcare and Benefits Improvement Act of 2025. The increase to 100% funding is expected to benefit about 200 veterans with complex medical issues. The VA encourages veterans and their families to contact their VA social workers to learn more about these changes. And the quote of the day. Primary elections are over. The midterm elections will be in November. While a small percentage of the eligible voters selected our preferred candidates, it is time for all voters to begin the tough work of discovering what the candidates stand for. Do your due diligence to fulfill your primary responsibility of being a citizen. Sweep away the propaganda and campaign attack ads. Hold those elected to their campaign promises. The following quote by Abraham Lincoln says what should happen if you don't vote. Elections belong to the people. It's their decision. If they decide to turn their back on the fire and burn their behinds, then they will just have to sit on their blisters. And we have Rivian lands $1.25 billion Uber deal. Electric vehicle maker looks to build 10,000 robo-taxis in its first phase by Brendan Dennison. Uber announced last week that it plans to invest $1.25 billion in Rivian Automotive as part of an effort to ramp up both companies' autonomous vehicle plans. The electric vehicle company said Uber intends to buy up to 50,000 R2 robotaxis. The first phase of deployment would start with 10,000 R2 robotaxis rolling out for passengers in San Francisco and Miami. By 2031, deployments would expand to 25 cities in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. The rideshare company committed to an initial $300 million investment upon signing the agreement, according to a news release from Rivian. These robo-taxis would be available exclusively through Uber with deployment timelines subject to meeting certain autonomous milestones by specific dates. The automaker announced in December its intentions to create a self-driving system for its vehicles, which was expected to ship in the upcoming R2 Sport Utility Vehicle model. Rivian previously said it plans to develop its own computer chips, processors, and artificial intelligence software to equip R2 SUVs with self-driving vehicle functionality. In an email on Monday, Kelly Felker, Rivian's senior manager of corporate communications, said the agreement will not affect plant operations in Normal, where the automaker builds its electric vehicles. R.J. Scaringe, founder and CEO of Rivian, said in a news release, this partnership with Uber will help propel Rivian towards its goal of providing a safe autonomous vehicle platform. The scale of Rivian's growing data flywheel, coupled with RAP1, our state-of-the-art in-house inference platform, and our multi-model perception platform, make us incredibly excited for the rapid advancement of Rivian autonomy over the next couple of years. In a statement, Uber CEO Dara Khosrowshahi said the ride-sharing company is a big believer in Rivian's approach of designing the vehicle, computer platform, and software together, as well as keeping end-to-end control of manufacturing and supply in the U.S. That vertical integration, combined with the data from their growing consumer vehicle base and experience in managing the complexities of commercial fleets, gives us conviction to set these ambitious but achievable targets. And with that, we conclude the reading of Part 1 of the Pantograph for Tuesday, March 24th, 2026. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I will return shortly with Part 2.